So about 2 weeks ago, I heard from a member of the church in Columbus, Georgia, where Carol Ann and I served together as associate pastors when we first came out of seminary. She was working on her statement of faith as she was preparing to serve as a church officer at First Presbyterian there, and she wanted to mention a story that I had once told in a sermon. That may be one of the highest compliments of my entire pastoral career. Now, she couldn't recall all the particulars, but she had most of the story right. 20 years later. Now, don't trouble me with the statistics about 21 years of ministry, maybe 800 sermons along the way, and I've now heard from one person from that deeper past. Let me have my moment. But I do know this. There was someone who told stories that people did remember. 2,000 years later, we are still talking about them, and they are still changing us. I've been thinking a good bit recently about the way that Jesus went about his ministry. In the midst of healing and feeding and calling people to follow, Jesus also did a lot of teaching. Some of it was pretty straightforward stuff. These are the kinds of people God blesses, he taught one day. The poor in spirit, the merciful, the peacemakers. Love God and love your neighbor, he taught another day. Not only shouldn't you kill someone, but you really should do everything that you can do to love your enemies. I bet that there was some murmuring in class the day that he said that. Along the way, Jesus told stories. A lot of them, actually. Parables is the word that Matthew and others use for them. Depending on how you count, there are over 40 of them in the Gospels. This fall, we will be living with a few of these stories Jesus told as we consider what it is that he says about the loving reign of God. Jesus spoke many things to his followers in parables, Matthew says, and chapter 13 of Matthew is full of them. Stories about ordinary things that people might find in their backyard or at their kitchen table. He speaks of simple things like planting seeds and weeds growing in among good plants. He talks about mustard seeds and yeast that's growing in bread and fishing. All of these things to help us understand what God is up to. Our parable today, of course, is the parable of the sower. In the history of its interpretation in the church, it's been understood many different ways. One way is that people have seen it as a story about God's victory at the end of time. Others have heard in it a call for patience for the church in the face of the frustrations of ministry as the church has tried to do things and they just haven't worked. Still others see in it a word about the power of God's word. But among us Protestant and Reformed folk, we have primarily understood it as a parable of responsibility for the church. How can we be better hearers and doers of the word and thus be good soil? That's the kind of question that we Reformed folk have asked. Now, that's not a bad word for the church on this Sunday as we return to our full fall schedule. What kind of soil are we? We're encouraged to wonder. Do we hear God's word in worship, only to have it nibbled away by the commitments that swoop in like birds from our calendars and pluck away what we have heard or learned? Does our faith have any roots so that we can withstand tough times, something to turn to or rely on when the foundations of our lives are shaken, or does our faith just evaporate in the face of those challenges? Do our concerns about the world, about our children or our parents, or the darkness that seems to have lurked around since those awful events of September 11th, 2001, do those concerns choke out our desire to live as followers of Jesus? Or are we good soil, living in love for God and in love for our neighbors, growing and sharing as we make our way along? And if we are, what can we do to stay that way? Some of you have heard me speak about one of our friends who used to work for the Cliffs communities in the upstate of South Carolina and in western North Carolina. He was the head of everything that had to do with golf there. Along the way, he worked side by side with folks like Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods. But if you ask him what he did, he'd say, "Yeah, I grow grass for a living." He did take some joy in pointing out the time that he was working with Jack Nicklaus, pointing out that a course that Jack had laid out, there was one spot that wasn't going to work given the terrain that was there. Suffice it to say that Jack didn't like having that sort of thing pointed out to him. When Jack realized that my friend was right, my friend said, "That was a really good day." But this friend of ours knows more about growing things than anybody I've ever met. I want to ask him what you do with soil that isn't as good as it needs to be. For instance, the soil that was in our yard. And he said, "Well, that's simple. You amend it. You add fertilizer or peat or sand or a lot of other things that I couldn't pronounce. Whatever it is that the soil needs to make it as fertile as possible." That got me thinking about what the church does to help make followers of Jesus into so-called good soil. It's not complicated. We improve the soil of our faith by committing to worship, gathering to attend to God and to other folk as we gather, week by week, letting hymns and scripture and sacraments saturate the soil of our lives and nurture our roots. We improve it when we engage in the study of Scripture and of the church's faith. We improve it with our generous sharing of our treasure and of our time and our talent. We improve it when we commit to getting together with others to reflect on just what God might be doing in our lives and in the world around us, and then asking, how can we be part of whatever it is that God is up to among us? We improve it when we commit to serving God's people, near and far, be it Stop Hunger Now or a mission trip or a weekly or monthly involvement with folk in need, as well as the myriad ways that we take part in our life together here in fellowship and learning and caring. Lord knows this world is in need of that sort of love and care. This 15th anniversary of the attacks of September 11th reminds us of the depth of the hurt and the extent of the estrangement and brokenness that exists among the people of this planet Earth. We may not be able to fix all of that, but we can be a people whose lives witness to a different way of being. No soil is improved immediately. It takes time, a commitment, but it can happen, and it does happen. By the grace and the work of God, the soil of the church can be improved, enabling us to grow into the people God is making us to be. Now, if I were to say amen right there, one, I know there would be much rejoicing. But two, we would have a good Reformed sermon about the importance of sanctification, about the importance of growing in our faith. But I wonder if part of what got Jesus into trouble so often was a different aspect of this parable. What if this parable isn't just about the soil? What if it's also about the sower? What if this parable is about the extravagant ways of God, whose word is scattered indiscriminately so that there will be growth, even in the face of challenge and resistance, even in unsuspecting places? Maybe there's a word here about a God who colors outside of the lines, who refuses to stay put in our carefully constructed schemes and convictions. Now, such a word would surely be upsetting for good, faithful, religious folk who paid a great deal of attention to soil conditions for themselves, but also the condition of the less good soil in other people's lives. And thus, those folk wouldn't necessarily be happy that the seed of God's word was being shared with those folk, too. And that is the source of much of the trouble that comes as Jesus makes his way along through his ministry, as he was always spending time with the wrong sort of folk. Now perhaps Jesus is sharing in the way that he tells this story that what looks fertile to me may not look that way to God. That what seems hopeless to us may be for God an opportunity to do a new thing. After all, God's ways are not our ways. Maybe this parable of the sower is about God's determination to reconcile the world and not just those of us who might think that we're pretty good soil. The sower goes out to sow, Jesus says, but note how the sower works. The sower does not first scan the horizon for the most suitable tract of land and only sow there. If that was the case, then the parable would have said a sower went out to sow. He saw the path and the rocks and the thorns and made sure not to waste any seed there. Instead, he carefully planted each of his seeds in good soil and then watched them grow to abundance. That's not how it happened at all. These seeds are scattered everywhere. Road, rocks, thorns, fertile soil, makes no difference. This sower puts these seeds everywhere, hoping for signs of growth. That's because this sower is full of grace and extends this grace to those who respond faithfully and well, and to those who have the best of intentions but don't follow through, and to those who are burdened and choked with concern, and even to those who just don't seem to get it at all. They all get the same seed. Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus wants us to be good soil. But the sower isn't just interested in the good soil people. The sower is trying to bring growth everywhere else too. We do well to look for signs of grace and reconciliation with folk around us whose soil might be a different type than ours, but who are soils in which God is interested nonetheless. Who knows? Their soil may actually be better than ours, and we just don't know it. Sisters and brothers in Christ, God is extravagant in love and grace. We are here because God scattered the seed of God's word in our lives, maybe through the love and nurture of parents, maybe by some mysterious experience of grace at a summer conference or through a conversation with a friend or some other means, maybe even a sermon from 20 years ago. The Church of Jesus Christ has carried on through the ages, pushing up through paths and rocks and thorns and fertile soil because of this extravagant faithfulness of God. As we get started this week with our fall full ministry, we hope you know that every act of the church's ministry is offered in hope that the seeds of faith that are planted in our life together will grow into acts of generous and faithful discipleship. As we go about our work, let's not be so focused on our soil that we fail to look to the abundant, extravagant one who comes among us with seed in hand, scattering this grace and mercy and peace and love that it may reach all of God's children. Who knows? We may just find that this attitude of awe and wonder and gratitude at the sower's generosity amends our soil more effectively than anything else that we might try, and is a means by which this good soil spreads out, greening this world that God so loves. Well, by God's grace, may the soil of the church be enriched and renewed day by day for sake of this ministry in which we join together as we bear witness to the Holy One who sows grace and love, mercy and peace always extravagantly, here and everywhere. This is the one who calls us to follow and to live in the way of the one who told such life-giving stories, Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God. Stand. Sisters and brothers, you are now deacons in the Church of Jesus Christ and for this congregation. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through him. We celebrate this day with you, and I would invite you to gather right in the same spot at the end of worship that the congregation may come forward to extend to you the right hand of fellowship as we welcome you into this ministry. Amen. Thank you.
brothers, let us go. Let us go tending to the soil of our lives and our life together. Let us also go and be sure that we are tending to the sower, whose love and grace are scattered extravagantly in this world around us. May our life together be a means by which others also come to know such love and wonder as we have sung this day. As we go, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us this day and forevermore. Amen.